Praise the Lord. Thank the Lord. There is victory in Jesus. And that is so wonderful to know. You know, it's regardless of what is the situation or the circumstance or how hard the battle may get. We can just have faith in Jesus. We could just looking ahead and believing and knowing that He is with us. Praise the Lord. He knows how to deliver us. He knows how to take us through this world. And thank the Lord for it. Amen. Oh, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I have quite a few prayer requests here to pray about as we begin here tonight. And I want to give this service over to the Lord. I say it's a wonderful privilege to be here, to have this opportunity, to know the Lord is with us. So we have so many blessings. We have so many things to thank Him for. So thankful for that hope that is within our being. Amen. Praise the Lord as we get ready to meet the King. Amen. Praise the Lord Jesus. Praise the Lord. I'm going to go into prayer. Pray that you join me. Thank the Lord. Let's pray. Praise the Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Oh, God, that we can live by faith, Lord. That we can trust in Thy promises, Lord. That we have hope in You, Lord. Oh, God. Oh, Lord, we have Your Word to direct us and to guide us, to show us, oh, Lord, the things that we need to see, Lord. And we can trust in Thy promises. We can trust in Thy ability. Oh, God, we know that You are God and You change not. And what You've done in the past, You can do today, Lord. Oh, God, we come to You, Lord. Oh, God, we come to You, Lord. For You know every need. You know every circumstance. You know every situation. You know our burdens. Oh, God, You know our trials. Oh, God, You know our issues, Lord. And oh, God, we bring them before Thee tonight. Oh, God, I ask that You'd help faith to operate in our hearts. You give us faith to believe You, Lord. Faith to stand on it. Oh, Lord, oh, God, to believe, oh, Lord, that it will shield us. Oh, that it will repel the enemy, Lord. Oh, God, in Your precious saving name, Lord. Pray that You work in our hearts. Oh, God, that You give us ears to hear. Oh, Lord, a mind that can perceive Thy Word. Oh, Lord, and can understand. Oh, God, I pray that You'd work in us, Lord. Oh, God, that Your presence would come down, Lord, for we are a needy people, Lord. We need You here tonight, and I pray that You'd work, Lord. Oh, God, that You'd meet these needs, Lord Jesus. Oh, God, I do bring Shirley before Thee, Lord. Sister Shirley in Oklahoma, Lord, I pray, oh, God, that, oh, Lord, You'd be with her, Lord. Oh, God, I know she told me that Darlene passed. And, oh, Lord, I just pray that You would comfort Thy people, Lord. Oh, God, that You'd work things out in this family. God, You know the situation, Lord. I pray that there would be peace in that family, Lord. And, oh, God, oh, Lord, that there would be victory, Lord. Oh, God, You know all the difficulties and everything that has gone on, Lord. I pray, oh, Lord, that You would work, that You would mend, oh, Lord, that You deliver, Lord Jesus. I pray that You would strengthen, Lord. That You would comfort, Lord. Oh, God, You know this need. Oh, Lord God, I pray that You would work, Lord Jesus. I pray that You'd help Sister Shirley as she travels to Oklahoma City. Pray, oh, God, that the weather would be all right and be able, oh, God, to drive through that. They're expecting rain, I know. I pray that You'd work it out, Lord. Oh, God, that Thy will be done. I pray that You'd give them clear, visible roads, oh, Lord. And, oh, God, the ability to travel, Lord. And I pray, oh, God, she'd meet with the right people who could help her, Lord. You know her need, Lord Jesus. Oh, God, You know her situation. And I pray, oh, Lord, that there would be healing that comes forth. And, oh, Lord, oh, God, those points, oh, Lord, in her back, on her spine, Lord. Oh, God, all those areas, Lord, that are pinched. And, oh, God, need, oh, God, correction. God, You know how to help her. Oh, Lord, we bring it to You, Lord. I pray, oh, God, that You work it out, that she'd be with the right people, Lord. Oh, God, You know all the circumstances. And I give it to You, Lord Jesus. I ask that You'd work, Lord. You know, oh, God, this great need. We bring it to You in Jesus' name, Lord. Oh, Lord, I bring Sister Dawn's request to, oh, Lord, the Steve, Lord, who, oh, God, is on a ventilator, Lord Jesus.
Oh, God, you see this need, Lord. And I pray, oh, God, that you touch this man, Lord. Oh, God, I don't know what his spiritual condition is. I pray that you would talk to his soul, Lord Jesus. I pray that you'd encourage these people, Lord, and thy will would be done, Lord. Oh, God, for you can make him whole, Lord. Oh, God, you can help his lungs to function, Lord God. Oh, God, you can work, oh, God, in a mighty way. You are a God of miracles, Lord, and I pray that you would work, Lord. I pray that you would help this man, this Steve, Lord Jesus, oh, Lord, and I pray, oh, God, that he would sense thy presence, that you talk to his soul, Lord. Oh, God, that your will would be done in this matter. Oh, God, oh, Lord, for I know they plan to unplug that ventilator. And oh, God, I just pray, oh, God, for thy great mercy, thy great interception, Lord, in this matter, Lord. We bring it to you, Lord. Oh, we entreat thee, Lord Jesus, and we ask that thou would work, Lord Jesus. Oh, God, for you know this need, Lord. And God, I pray for Sister Linda's request for her friend Sandy, Lord. Oh, God, Sandra, Lord. Oh, this woman who is diabetic and she'd been doing better, Lord. But I just pray, Lord, she had a sugar low and it's in the hospital. I pray that you would touch her even now, Lord. I pray that you'd move in her. Oh, God, I pray, oh, God, that she'd feel faith, Lord, that you'd help her, Lord, that you'd help her mother too, Lord, her mother's problems. God, you know these needs, oh, Lord. And we ask, oh, Lord, we ask you, Lord, to intervene, Lord. Oh, God, to heal, Lord. Oh, God, that thy presence could be felt. And, oh, Lord, that these individuals could meet thee, Lord. Oh, God. Oh, God, that they could know thee, Lord, that they could have understanding. Oh, Lord, that they could know you as Lord and Savior, Lord. Pray that you'd work in Jesus' name, Lord. Oh, praise the Lord. And I pray for Marissa too, Lord. Oh, God, Robin Torrey's request here for this young woman, Lord. Oh, God, who's with child. And I pray, oh, Lord, that she would touch her too, Lord. Thy will would be done, Lord. I pray that you'd heal her body, Lord. Oh, God. And, oh, Lord, if they are to deliver the baby early, Lord, that you would, oh, God, work it out, Lord, that you'd have mercy, God. We come to you, Jesus. Oh, God, we ask you for your help, Lord. Oh, God, that you'd be there. And, oh, God, oh, Lord, that hearts would be turned to thee, Lord. That hearts would be turned to thee, Lord. Oh, God, for we have but a little time to get ready. Oh, God, to know thee, Lord, to work for thee, to endeavor in thy field, Lord. And I just pray that you would use this for thy name's sake and for thy glory. Oh, God, to show yourself to these people, Lord. God, you know this need, Lord. I bring it to you, Lord. Oh, God, I do pray for Mackenzie, too. I pray that you'd continue to touch her, Lord. Oh, God, I pray that you'd completely heal her, Lord. Oh, God, oh, Lord, you know how to deliver her. You know how to heal her, Lord. And I just pray, oh, God, that she would sense thy greatness, thy power, Lord, thy willingness. Oh, God, that thou art there to meet her need, to heal her, Lord. And, oh, God, to deliver her, Lord, from this pots in Jesus' name by the power of the blood. Oh, God, you know all these things, God. We bring them before thee, Lord. We ask that you would work, oh, Lord, that you deliver, that you'd save, Lord. Oh, God, that you give us words, that you work in our hearts, God. Oh, Lord, help us to endeavor in thy field. Oh, Lord, while we yet have a little time, oh, Lord, help Samuel as he writes the newsletter, God. Pray that it would come forth, oh, Lord, as thou would ordain. Oh, Lord, help me with my letter too, Lord Jesus. Oh, God, we need you, Lord. And, oh, God, I pray that you'd have your way in this service here tonight. Oh, God, talk to our hearts. Oh, God, you know every need. Oh, God, every test, every trial. I pray that you'd work. I pray that your healing touch would be felt. Oh, thy presence would be sensed. Oh, God, that you draw us close to thee, Lord. Oh, God, that we could get ready to meet thee, Lord. Oh, God, that our hearts would be made right and thy will done in our lives. Oh, God, I pray in Jesus' name, Lord. Have your way, Lord. Use this message. Oh, God. Oh, Lord, you know how to help me. Oh, God, give me the words. Oh, God. Oh, Lord, give me the authority and the ability and the anointing. Oh, Lord, I ask this in Jesus' precious name by the power of the blood. In Jesus' name, amen. Oh, praise the Lord. Our God is good. Amen. Oh, thank the Lord that we can know him as our Lord and Savior. Oh, he has helped us.
He has really helped us. I mean, I could say that continually in my own life. I will admit I did a lot of physical work the other week, and I just was really stiff early this week, and climbing the steps yesterday was hard. But anyway, you know what? Today was a lot easier. It was way better. And I just thank the Lord. I just say thank you, Jesus. Because it's the Lord who touches us. Oh, it's the Lord who has kept us. So we could not do anything without Him. And I am so thankful that we can draw nigh unto Him and know that He will draw nigh to us, that we have His Word. We're going to open it up now. We're going to continue our study. We've been talking about getting ready to meet the King. And there's been different phases of this study. I guess really that's what God's Word is about. It's getting ready to meet our Savior. And we know the fact that He's coming again. Yeah, His Word makes it very clear. That same Jesus that ascended into the heavens, that they watched depart from this earth, is coming again. He is coming again as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Praise the Lord. We know that. And we're waiting for Him, yes, because His people have made ready for our Lord's return. Amen. Praise the Lord. And yes, we know in order to prepare, we must enter into that straight gate. There's no promise that it's going to be easy. And we're not going to be without trials and tests, hard decisions and battles. No, we're not told that by any means. We know there's going to be difficulties. But we know that the Lord is going to be with us. He is going to help us. He's going to make a way. And it's a faith of test. It's a test of faith, rather. And God knows how to help us. In fact, all those that enter into that city, that New Jerusalem, are overcomers. That means that there have been battles that we had to fight. There were trials. There were tests. It wasn't an easy road, but praise the Lord, by the grace of God, through the faith that the Lord Jesus gives us, we overcome. We overcome this world. We overcome the flesh. We overcome the devil. Praise the Lord. Amen. We have victory in Jesus. Amen. And we know, yes, we must be born again. We thank God for the word that explains this process so that we can be born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. Praise the Lord. We're born again of the water and of the Spirit. Praise the Lord. The Lord makes a way for us to enter in. Praise the Lord. He gives us a second birth. Praise the Lord. And praise God. We know that we must grow in grace and in knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Oh yes, in order to enter in, there's going to be a need to grow in the Lord. But again, the Lord knows how to get us there. And I thank God for His Word because, oh my, there are so many words of instructions in God's Word, and what a help it is to us. I know I've said this before, but when those early churches received one of Paul's letters, or John's letter, or Peter's, Jude's, whichever one, it must have been so wonderful. They didn't have the New Testament like we have it. They didn't have all these references that we have at this time. And we are blessed. We are blessed to have God's Word. Thank God that we can open it up tonight. Amen. We thank God. He knows how to make a way. And with His help, as it tells us in 1 Peter, that 5th chapter, verse 10, but the God of all grace, who hath called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus. After ye have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, settle you. Praise the Lord. And that's what we're talking about. We're talking about going on to perfection. Praise the Lord. And we need God's word. We need to be led by the Holy Ghost. We need his spirit to guide us and to lead us and to direct our paths. We'd never make it without the Lord, without his word. We need him so desperately. We need these words of life. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. We've been going to the book of Colossians. We're going to go there again tonight. Praise the Lord as we talk about, getting ready to meet the King. And I think this book of Colossians has just so much to say. You know, that first chapter of Colossians, talked about that work that needs to be done in us. Colossians, the first chapter, verse 21 says, "And you that were sometime alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath he reconciled in the body of his flesh through death to present you holy and unblameable and unreprovable in his sight." Verse 23, "If ye continue in the faith, grounded and settled, and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel, which ye have heard, and which was preached to every creature which is under heaven, whereof I, Paul, am made a minister." Praise the Lord. Oh yes, that's our goal. We were all out there. We were all in the world at one point, and in a way, from the kingdom of God, in that respect, alienated, as it expresses in verse 21 here in Colossians, the first chapter. We were once enemies in our thinking, in our conduct, in our ways, wicked works, and the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life and all those things. But praise the Lord, the gift of God, we have been reconciled so that we could be brought back to God. Praise the Lord, and so that we could walk with him. And so when that moment comes, when we stand before the Lord, we could be presented holy and unblameable and unreprovable in his sight. And no need for rebuke or reproof at that moment. No blame, no shame, nothing, oh my, to blemish us at that moment. That's our goal. Amen. As we walk this life, and we are getting ready to meet the King. And of course, we've made a start. But it's an endurance test. It's for those that endure until the end, the same shall be saved. So there's this need, if you continue in the faith, grounded and settled, and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel, which ye have heard, and which was preached to every creature which is under heaven, whereof I, Paul, am made a minister. Amen. Praise the Lord. Oh, we don't want to turn around. We don't want to give up. We don't want to cut this life in Christ short. No, we want to be grounded and settled in our minds, in our manners, in our thinking, and not moved away from that hope of the gospel. It needs to be deep within. Our minds must be made up that we're going to serve the Lord no matter what happens. I shall not be moved. Just like that tree that's planted by the waters, I'm not going to be moved. Praise the Lord, that tree that is planted by the waters has continual nourishment as long as those waters are there. And in our sense, we must abide in Christ, because that's where we're going to get our spiritual nourishment. Oh yes, from our God, from his word, from the infilling of the Holy Ghost, that power. Yes, the oil of his spirit that comes to dwell in our beings. Praise the Lord. That's how we can abide in him and be like that tree that's planted by the waters. It's not going to be moved. No, because it's got continual nourishment. And praise the Lord, that's how it is in Christ. If we're grounded, if we're settled, if we're not moved away, then we can draw from the Spirit of the living God. We've got our anchor deep, embedded in the gospel, that hope in the Lord Jesus Christ is anchored so that it's not going to be moved. Praise the Lord. Oh, thank the Lord for His goodness. Thank God for His mercy. Amen. The second chapter of the book of Colossians, you know, Paul was warning them, and you know, he had some concerns, as we mentioned last week. And, you know, he's telling them, again, their need to be rooted and built up in the Lord Jesus, established in the faith there in the seventh verse, abounding therein with thanksgiving, verse 7 there in Colossians 2. But, oh my, he was telling them, oh my, just beware here, you know, there are possibilities, you know, he'd heard certain things, there had been concerns, Epaphras had obviously consulted with him, and there were concerns, because it seems like there were some elements that were trying to enter into that body of Colossae, and interfere with the sound message of the gospel. So he had to say, you know, beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. Oh yes, there were some worries and some concerns, and you know, even it seemed that perhaps there were some tendencies to go back to Judaism and all that sort of thing, because you know, he tells them, let no man therefore judge you in meat, or in drink, or in respect of a holy day, or of the new moon, or of the Sabbath days. And he clarified it by saying, which are a shadow of things to come. Oh yes, they pointed towards Christ. Praise the Lord. Oh yes, they were needed at that point. But oh my, the Lord Jesus was going to come into this world and fulfill all that had been written. Praise the Lord. So all of that under the old covenant was a shadow of things to come. But he explained the body is of Christ. Praise the Lord. Oh, thank the Lord for the knowledge that he's given us. We know that in the Lord Jesus dwelt all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. And praise the Lord, we are complete in Him. We don't have to, you know, just have, you know, all these other philosophies and traditions and other things to complement our walk with the Lord. He tells us in Colossians 2, verse 10, we are complete in Him, and ye are complete in Him, which is the head of all principality and power. Praise the Lord. We don't have to go elsewhere. We come to Jesus, and He fulfills our need. You know what we need to walk in this world and to overcome is all found in the Scripture. Oh, through Jesus Christ. Amen. Oh, yes, the one that paid such a price that we might be forgiven our trespasses and our sins, that we might be made new creatures in Christ Jesus. Praise the Lord. And yes, he said in verse 11 in chapter 2, in whom also ye are circumcised with the circumcision made without hands in putting off the body of the sins of the flesh. By the circumcision of Christ, praise the Lord. Oh yes, praise the Lord. We come to Him in repentance. We come to the Lord Jesus in repentance. And yes, the thing is to put off the body of the sins, to cast away the sins. If we're going to be free, if we're free in Jesus, that means we're not living in sin. That's what freedom is all about. Yeah. Oh my, putting off the old man. All the old ways, giving them over to the Lord Jesus in repentance and being buried with Him in baptism. Praise the Lord. Oh yes, being filled with the Holy Ghost. Amen. So that we can walk with Him. Praise the Lord. And we can overcome this world. Praise the Lord. Will you put off the bodies of the sins of the flesh? That old man goes in the name of Jesus. Praise the Lord. Oh, praise the Lord. So we don't have to look to other sources. We are complete in Jesus. Praise our God. Amen. Praise the Lord. Oh, thank the Lord Jesus. Praise God. So we are going to go into Colossians, the third chapter here tonight. And I just felt the need to go over, reference some of these other things we've talked about. But here in Colossians, the third chapter, it tells us in verse 1, "If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God." Okay, we're going to just stop with this verse here a moment. And yeah, the need, of course, is to be risen with him. And thank God, our baptism in the water, in the name of the Lord Jesus, represents our dying out to the old man. It represents being buried with Christ. And we rise up out of the waters as we are risen with him through the faith of the operation of God. And praise the Lord, I know, yes, there also is the Holy Ghost. And praise the Lord, at times, people when they come up out of the water are also filled with the Holy Ghost. I love it. I love that when it happens. Like, you know, Sister Brenda shared with me a few weeks ago how that was her story. I know Brother Tim, when he was here, he came up out of the water speaking in other tongues. That was beautiful too. Amen. Praise the Lord. I always love that when it happens. And sometimes we receive the Holy Ghost prior to our baptism. I know the Lord filled me with the Holy Ghost before I was baptized in the water. Thank the Lord, he did that. And a week later, I was buried with him in the waters of baptism. And thank the Lord, that's the way he did it for me. And sometimes there's a period of tarrying for the Holy Ghost. But praise the Lord, it is a promise. And we can accept and embrace that promise. So to give it all over to the Lord, to let him take your mouth, your tongue, and use it to take it. And oh, you begin to speak forth in other tongues as the Spirit of the Lord gives the utterance. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. So if we have been born again of the water and of the Spirit, then we are those that have been risen with Christ. And if that is our situation, we are told in verse 1, Colossians chapter 3, that there is a need to seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Oh, the authority of God. Praise the Lord. Oh, thank the Lord. Yes, he sitteth there. Praise the Lord, on the right hand of God. Amen. So, as our lives are given over to the Lord, God is going to be working in us to change us, to make us ready to meet him. Yes, so that he can present us, as we read in the first chapter, holy and unblameable and unreprovable in his sight. Praise the Lord, so that we can be settled and grounded in the faith and not moved away from the gospel, the hope of the gospel. Praise the Lord. So, praise the Lord, there's a process. And that's what life is all about. This third chapter of Colossians, we could divide it into two parts, pretty much. We're going to talk about the need of things to put off as we're seeking to be perfected in the Lord, as we're seeking to get ready to meet the King. Praise the Lord. And then it's going to tell us what we can do to put on Christ. Amen. To walk in his ways. Oh, yes, to fulfill his plan for our lives. Praise the Lord. So here it tells us, okay, if ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. There's going to be a shift in our goals, our desires, our motives, our thinkings. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. The past things have become old, you know? You know, and you know, this is what it's all about. Serving the Lord in a way that we never could have served Him before. Once we're risen with Him. Yes, if we're risen with Christ, we become a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new, as it tells us in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. Praise the Lord. So, it's going to be different than before as we give our life over to the Lord Jesus. It tells us in verse 2 how we can do it. It says, set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. Okay, so, all right, there's going to be quite a change in where our treasures are, where our thought process goes, our ambitions, our desires. You know, we're to look above our affections, our goals, our hearts are to be towards heaven on things above and not on the earth. Oh, we know that this earth is going to pass away. We know that this earth is just temporary. Our lives are short. They're all going to end. And what a need there is to do what we can in the little time that the Lord has given us to live for Him. Praise the Lord. And so, yes, thank the Lord. Here is a great need to set our affection, our desires, our hearts on things above and not on things on the earth, as it tells us. Let's look at some other scripture here for a little bit here. Praise the Lord. I want to go to Luke, the 12th chapter. And let's look at verse 22. Actually, this whole chapter is very relevant, I feel. But let's look at verse 22 here. Jesus is talking to his disciples. It says, and he said unto his disciples, therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat, neither for the body, what ye shall put on. The life is more than meat, and the body is more than raiment. Oh my, I mean, you know, the natural tendency is to seek everything you can, you know, while you're here on earth for, you know, goods that you want, or you know, desires for your families, or, you know, your ambitions, your earthly goals, and all of that. But Jesus is telling us another strategy here, and where our goals really should be, and what our thought process should be. So he said, take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat, neither for the body, what ye shall put on. The life is more than meat, and the body is more than raiment or clothes, or, you know, all those other considerations here. And as he wants to explain this thought here, he says in verse 24, consider the ravens, for they neither sow nor reap, which neither have storehouse nor barn, and God feedeth them. How much more are ye better than the fowls? And which of you, with taking thought, can add to his stature one cubit? If ye then be not able to do that which is least, why take ye thought for the rest? All the fuss and the worry in this life. Oh, Jesus is trying to explain that he's our Heavenly Father. And he knows how to provide for us. He knows how to heal our bodies. He knows how to help us to make our ends meet. He knows the things that we have need of, even before we ask. He's giving these examples here to help us, oh, to realize that he is plentiful in his ability to help us, to sustain us, to give us those things that we have need of. Verse 27, consider the lilies, how they grow. They toil not, they spin not. And yet I say unto you that Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Oh, beautiful lilies. Praise the Lord. But oh, yes, Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these lilies. He was not clothed like one of them. Verse 28 tells us, if then God so clothed the grass, which is today in the field, and tomorrow is cast into the oven, how much more will he clothe you, O ye of little faith? And seek not ye what ye shall eat, or what ye shall drink, neither be ye of doubtful mind. Oh, praise the Lord, turning these worries, these cares, over to the Lord Jesus. Because if you know, he takes care of the fowls of the air. He makes the lilies to grow and need not to toil or to spin. You know, if he clothes the grass in the field, which, you know, is there one moment and gone the next, will he not take care of us? So again, verse 29, and seek not ye what ye shall eat or what ye shall drink, neither be ye of doubtful mind. For all these things do the nations of the world seek after, and your Father knoweth that ye have need of these things. Praise the Lord. He's very aware of our circumstances. But here he tells us, and this is a key passage, verse 31. This is, oh yes, this should be our strategy. This is how, oh, we make it through this world. It says in verse 31, but rather seek ye the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto you. You know, when God is first in your life, when he is the priority, he is telling us that all these other things will be taken care of. He's going to see to it. But see, there is a need, and so many people don't get this. They go out of their way to try to find strategies to, you know, make it through this life. But here it tells us simply the remedy, but rather seek ye the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto you. Praise the Lord. Verse 32 is so beautiful. Fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Sell that you have and give alms. Provide yourself bags which wax not old, a treasure in the heavens that faileth not, where no thief approacheth, neither moth corrupteth. Verse 34, for where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. That's right. What matters to us? What do we seek for above all else? Oh, you know, what is our goal, our aim? Our treasure is that which we protect. That's what we go after. That's what's dear to our hearts. And in the kingdom of God, if we're putting the Lord first, the things down here in this earth do not matter. It's the treasures that we are laying up for eternity that count. And that's where our hearts need to be. Praise the Lord. That's where our treasure is. It's beyond this world. Our affections need to be on things that are above, and not on things of this earth, as it tells us in Colossians 3, verse 2. Praise the Lord. Because it will all tell, you know, where our treasure is. That's where our hearts will be. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise God. Amen. Putting the Lord first. Letting some of these other things go. Realizing that God knows how to work it out. He wants you to, you know, find time for him above all else. Make time in His Word. Make time to pray. Make time to get to church or to listen online or however you're able to do so. Make time to work for Him, to witness to other people, to help other people. Oh, yes, to be a light in this world. Amen. Let those things be your priority. Knowing that the Lord knows our needs. And He's able to work out every single detail. Amen. Praise the Lord. Verse 3 here in Colossians 3. It says, "For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God." Of course, in this context, the word dead means that we've died out to the old man. We've died out to the world. We've died out to sin. You know, we've got a new goal. You know, we're seeking the things that are above. And you know, the things that are down here are more so incidental. Oh, we're seeking a city which hath foundation, whose ruler and maker is God. Amen. And that's where our treasure is. Praise the Lord. And that's where our goals, our aims are. Praise the Lord. It explains in Romans the 6th chapter. Oh, there's so much here. But let's just look at verse 6. Romans 6, verse 6. "Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. For he that is dead is freed from sin." He's talking about dying out to the old man. And of course, you know, we repent. We repent from our old life, our sins, you know, our ways of thinking. And we identify with the Lord in the waters of baptism. So we're buried with Christ and baptized into Jesus Christ. As it tells us in verse 3 here in this chapter in Romans, which represents being baptized into His death. Praise the Lord. So it tells us, verse 7 again, "For he that is dead is freed from sin. Now, if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with Him, knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, dieth no more. Death hath no more dominion over Him." Praise the Lord. He rose from that death, that death, that grave in victory. Sin, being destroyed. Praise the Lord, making a way that we could overcome, that we could have victory over sin, therefore, too. It says in verse 10, "For in that he died unto sin once. But in that he liveth unto God." Praise the Lord. Oh, he died on that cross to take away the sin of the world for those that would come to him in repentance and believe in his name. Praise the Lord, and obey the gospel. So verse 11 tells us, "Likewise reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord." Praise the Lord. So we die out to sin. It explains in verse 12, "Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that ye should obey it in the lust thereof." Oh, praise the Lord. And it goes on to, explain that point even more greatly. But praise the Lord, going back here to Colossians 3, verse 3, "For ye are dead to the old way of life, the way old way of thinking, and your life is hid with Christ in God." Praise the Lord. We become joint heirs with Christ. Oh, praise the Lord. We walk with the Lord. Oh, and He takes us. He even hides us in His secret hiding place. Oh, that place where His presence is, oh, the place where he dwells so that we can abide in him and he in us. Oh, yes, you know, we walk with him. Praise the Lord. We abide in his presence, in his ways. He talks to us. He instructs us. He guides us. Praise the Lord. He leads us. Thank the Lord. Verse 4 tells us, when Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall you also appear with him in glory. Oh, that moment. And oh, yes, those that are already at home with the Lord, he's going to bring back with him. Praise our God. Oh, yes, and all those of us who would happen to be alive and remaining are going to be caught up together with him in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. Oh, yes, praise the Lord, and forever be with the Lord. Praise the Lord. Oh, thank the Lord Jesus. Praise the Lord. And what a day that is going to be. Revelation, the 19th chapter, describes this moment. Verse 11 here, Revelation 19, verse 11. And I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True. And in righteousness he doth judge and make war. His eyes were as a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns. And he had a name written that no man knew but he himself. And he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood. And his name is called the Word of God. And the armies which were in heaven followed him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean. Praise the Lord, the church of the living God. Praise the Lord. And out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword, that with it he should smite the nations, and he shall rule them with a rod of iron. And he treadeth the winepress of the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God. And he hath on his vesture and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Praise the Lord. What a description. Oh, as our God comes back, as our Savior comes back, this time as King of Kings and Lord of Lords, his eyes as a flame of fire, on his head many crowns, and a name written that no man knew but he himself. Oh, praise the Lord, clothed with a vesture dipped in blood. His name is called the Word of God. Oh, the Word that was, made flesh and came to dwell among us. Praise the Lord. Thank the Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. So it goes on to tell us in Colossians, the 3rd chapter, how we defeat the devil. Oh yes, how we strive for the mastery, how we are going to grow in the Lord. And these are things that we must put off. It tells us in verse 5, mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth, fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, and covetousness, which is idolatry, works of the flesh that must be put off. Praise the Lord. Yes, all these things that are mentioned here, fornication and all manners of uncleanness, inordinate affection. Oh, when there are inappropriate affections that some may have, and you know, very wrong in many, in every way. Praise the Lord. Yes, and it talks about evil concupiscence. Again, you know, talking about strong desires or appetites, lustful such, you know, sexual deceit and lasciviousness and all that kind of thing that could be described by this word that, you know, really takes in a lot of different areas here with these lusts that are very, you know, apparent in this world that we live in right now. And, you know, as, you know, we live in these times and, you know, we hear about such things as pedophiles and sex slaves and pornography. And I mean, things that, you know, were just, you know, kept in secret for a long, long time. But, oh my, a lot of that is being revealed at this time. But all of this, all these evil things, these evil affections, and concupiscence and everything else that is included here, things that are obvious, strong, lustful desires for things that are forbidden, that people go after when their hearts are not given over to the Lord. It says, and covetousness, which is idolatry, covetousness, which is a desire for things that are not yours. And, greed and all that kind of thing. And, it equates to idolatry in the eyes of God. So we are told that these things must not be in a child of the Lord. We're told to mortify these tendencies, to destroy them, to kill them, in other words. As verse 6 tells us, for which things sake the wrath of God cometh on the children of disobedience. Oh, we don't want any of these tendencies in our lives when we've given them to the Lord Jesus. We want to cast off any of such so that it would be mortified. It would be killed. We would not give heed. We would not give desire in any of these directions. And it's explained in verse 7. In the which ye also walked some time when ye lived in them. See, the tendencies of the old man, the old way of thinking, the things that people do, and sad to say, they're accepted as norm so often, as normal. And it's so wrong, it's so abominable in God's sight. And for those things, he will judge. The wrath of God is going to come upon the children of disobedience. He is not winking at these sins. Oh, we live in a time period, when fornication is so accepted. People live together and they're not married. And it's winked at and it's considered normal. But does God see it that way? I say not. I say he is not. Just winking at such. In fact, it tells us in Hebrews chapter 13, verse 4, it says, marriage is honorable in all, and the bed undefiled. But it says, whoremongers and adulterers God will judge. Yes, so if you are a whoremonger, you go after whores. If you are an adulterer, have relationships outside of marriage, then I'll tell you what, God will judge. Amen. That's what it says. We need to give heed. We need to listen. We've got to listen. We've got to get right. We have just these moments to get ready to meet the King. Amen. And then verse 8 tells us, but now ye also put off all these. And now there's more tendencies that often lurk in people's lives. But here we're told, yes, these things too must be put off. It says anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communications out of your mouth. All these emotions that welled up and all at once you're red in the face and so angry and upset and it can lead to way beyond terrible wrath and even malice, which is a desire to harm others. And sometimes even blasphemy. Oh yes. Oh, to profane the things that are of God, to curse, to revile the things that are God. Oh yes, it can be done, through your language or through your writing, through your actions. Oh, you don't want to blaspheme the ways of God, the works of God, the name of God. No way. Oh my, God will judge such. It says filthy communication out of your mouth. Oh, we must put off all of these tendencies, these emotions. Praise the Lord, we can give these things over to the Lord and ask him to take our tongue, take our emotions, take our lives and help us all to overcome these tendencies that well up within if we're not guarded, if we're not given heed, if we're not given over to the Lord Jesus. We're not filled with the Holy Ghost and living in that realm. So there is great need, if we are new creatures in Christ, to give these things over, to cast them off, to give them over to God. Amen. And then verse 9 tells us, lie not one to another, seeing that you have put off the old man with his deeds. Oh, yeah, that tendency to tell a little white lie and cover it up and, you know, think nothing much of it. Some people lie so easily that, you know, I don't even think they know what is, you know, true and what is a lie. But it's not to be. And therefore we are told, lie not one to another, seeing that you have put off the old man with his deeds. All these tendencies that once were a part of our nature, the old man, but now, yes, because we've risen with Christ. Oh, yes, we want to set our affections on things above and not on things on earth. And oh, yes, we give our hearts over to the living God and let Him work in us. Let Him remake us. Oh, let Him make us a new creature in Christ. We put off these old tendencies. Oh, we give our lives over to the living God. And it says in verse 10, and have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of Him that created him. Oh, praise the Lord. I love how He takes our lives. And oh, yes, we come to Him as we are. Oh, you can't do a thing about your past. But thank the Lord, you can give it over to the Lord Jesus. And you come to Him as you are. But praise the Lord. See, He's going to make a new person out of us. He's going to make a new creation out of us. He's going to take us from what we are and begin to reformat us, make us something different. Something that will bring glory to His name. Something that can stand before God. Oh, yes, and be presented as holy and unblameable and unreprovable in His sight. Praise the Lord. He's going to make us new creatures in Christ Jesus. Oh, I like the word create. And I believe, you know, people sometimes try to say they created something. Oh, I'll tell you, to create means to make from nothing. And only God can take nothing and make something of it. Praise the Lord. Oh, we were nothing before You, the Lord of Lords and the King of Kings, the Lord Jesus. But I love how, oh yes, He takes us as we are, as we come to Him in repentance, oh, in sorrow for our past sins, and give our lives over to Him, obeying the gospel. Praise the Lord. Oh, He begins to make us a new creature. Oh, a new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of Him that created him. Praise the Lord. He begins to make us from nothing. Oh, that new image, that new creature. Oh, His own sons and daughters. Praise the Lord. In His kingdom where there is neither Greek nor Jew. Verse 11. Circumcision nor uncircumcision. Barbarian, Scythian, bond or free, but Christ is all and in all. Yeah, praise the Lord. In His kingdom, you know, all those things, a pedigree, they could, you know, they don't matter at all. You know, our ancestry, our race, our gender, our status, our education, you know, our income, that's nothing. You know, God takes us according to our willingness to give our lives over to Him. And it doesn't matter if we're Greeks or Jews, if we're circumcised or uncircumcised, if we're wild people, barbarians or Scythians, or if we're bond or if we're free. Praise the Lord. Oh, we give our lives over to the Lord. And He becomes our all and all. Praise the Lord. Our all in all. Amen. Praise the Lord. So He begins to tell us there, He's told us things that we must put off as we walk with the Lord, as we become new creatures in Christ. But now in verse 12, he begins to show us things that we put on as children of God, as new creatures in Christ. Verse 12 tells us, put on therefore as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another, and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. Praise the Lord. See how we begin to change. Oh, and become that new creature in Christ. Praise the Lord. He begins to make us that new person. And we forbear one another. In other words, we sustain one another, hold one another up. We forgive one another. Praise the Lord. If any man has a quarrel, then we need to forgive as the Lord Jesus has forgiven us. In fact, we know if we don't forgive, then he can't forgive us. So very important this is. And yes, there's going to be different traits that come forth from our lives. Bowels of mercies. Kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering. Yes, he changes us to make us gentle creatures. To form us again like unto Christ. Praise the Lord. And it tells us in verse 14, and above all these things, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness. Oh, praise the Lord. This word charity doesn't come easy. This word charity is agape. It's a love that only the Lord Jesus can give. It's a love that gives and doesn't expect anything in return. It's a love that Jesus had for his people when he gave himself on the cross so that we might become his sons and daughters. It wasn't, an expectation of something in return, but it was freely given. Praise the Lord. It was true charity, a love for his people, a willingness to give his life that we might have life. That we might be joint heirs with Christ, that we might become his sons and daughters. Praise the Lord. So, yes, as we grow in the Lord, we grow in grace and in knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Praise the Lord. These things are going to grow in us as we put on Christ, as we let him become a part of our nature, or we give it over to him so that he can develop us, so to speak. His mind can be in us. That's giving our lives over to him, letting him operate in us. Praise the Lord, so that we can be a different person. Praise the Lord, so we can have even a charity, which he describes as a bond of perfectness. Praise the Lord. As we grow in grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. And he says in verse 15, and let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also ye are called in one body, and be thankful. Oh, praise the Lord, his peace that passes all understanding. Oh, it's a peace that the world cannot give. Oh, they talk about peace, but no way do they know peace unless the Lord reigns inside. Thus he's taken our lives and he's given us a peace. A peace that can be there in the midst of a storm. No matter what is happening on this side of eternity. Oh, no matter what trial or test we're going through. No matter how difficult it may be, or how sick we may be, or how lonely and how, forsaken we may feel. There's a peace that the Lord gives us that passes all understanding. Oh, his desire that his peace might reign in our hearts. And might, oh yes, calm those storms, oh, that try to take over, disturb us and hinder us and cause us to be fearful. Oh, the Lord wants us, oh yes, to know his peace. And to allow it to rule in our hearts, to the which also ye are called in one body. Praise the Lord and be thankful. Oh, praise the Lord. There is so much to be accomplished when we're thankful. Oh, praise the Lord. Oh, when we have that attitude, it is so amazing how God begins to work. Even when, you know, it seems like everything is going wacky and we don't have strength, we don't have energy, we don't have ability. I mean, wow. Turning it over to the Lord. Letting him rule and reign. Oh, yes. And being thankful. Oh, God so knows how to help us. And we're admonished in verse 16. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. Oh, praise the Lord. Oh, praise the Lord. That's an environment that the Lord can work in. That's an environment that brings faith. Oh, I just love it, you know. And you begin to, you know, think of those old songs or those little hymns that come to mind. And, you know, maybe you hum, maybe you whistle, maybe you sing it. And you know, with all, but oh, praise the Lord when we do that. Oh, we're building up, oh, faith inside, and the Lord uses that. Oh, there's teaching and admonition and such. Oh, those psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And here's another thing here in verse 17, which is key. It says in verse 17, and whatsoever ye do in word and deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. Amen. So everything we do in our lives should be centered around the Lord Jesus. Word or deed. It should all glorify him. It should all be done in his name. There's something that we can't do in his name. If we can't do it to his glory, then we better not do it at all. We better stay far from that. Because we want all of our actions, all of our words to give glory to the Lord Jesus. We want to be able to do all of it in the name of the Lord Jesus and to give thanks to God and the Father by him. Praise the Lord to do it with, oh yes, a heart that's given over to him. Praise the Lord, a thankful heart too. Oh, because yes, it's because of him. It's because of his mercy, his grace, his patience with us, his long suffering, oh, his love toward us. So praise the Lord what he has done for us. And there's more that is given here to advise us. Verse 18, wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as it is fit in the Lord. Verse 19, husbands, love your wives. And be not bitter against them. Oh my, these emotions that sometimes get in there and disrupt and hinder and you know, make, you know, huge things out of little things. I mean, it happens. Something, you know, was said wrong and we take it wrong and, you know, or, you know, somebody's, you know, not feeling quite well and quite tired or mind on something else. And, you know, statement comes out of the mouth and it just doesn't seem right. And, you know, therefore, you know, we're grumbling and, you know, upset for hours perhaps. Oh, God help us. And it says in verse 20, children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing unto the Lord. And on the other hand, verse 21, fathers, provoke not your children to anger, lest they be discouraged. Praise the Lord. And it says in verse 22, servants, obey in all things your masters, according to the flesh, not with eye service, as men pleasers, but in singleness of heart, fearing God. Oh, yes. And so, you know, if we've got a job that we must do, praise the Lord, we're to do it as unto the Lord. I think this can make a great difference in our attitude, in, you know, how we go forth. We can, you know, you do it with the right mindset and the right thinking, you know, and not with eye service, you know, not just to make an impression, in other words, or as a man pleaser, you know, just kind of on the surface trying to, you know, make it look good. But it says in singleness of heart. Oh, praise the Lord. There's, you know, a sincerity there. You know, an honesty there to, you know, do it for the right motives, with the right heart and with the right attitude. And it says fearing God. That's right. Fearing God. You know, that makes a big difference in how we go forth and what we do and what we say, how we present ourselves. So this describes the attitude that the Lord has for us. And verse 23 is also very key. It says, "And whatsoever ye do, do it heartily, as to the Lord, and not unto men, knowing that of the Lord ye shall receive the reward of the inheritance, for ye serve the Lord Jesus. But he that doeth wrong shall receive for the wrong which he hath done. And there is no respect of persons." Oh, this chapter so beautifully describes the attitude that we need to have as children of God, servants of the Most High God who are striving to enter in to heaven. Oh, to be with the Lord for all eternity. Oh, praise the Lord. Yes, we have these lists of things that we must put off. And then these characteristics that we strive to put on, praise the Lord. And, oh, just, you know, overall, whatsoever you do, do it heartily, as to the Lord, and not unto men. Praise the Lord. Oh, yes, for the kingdom of God, for the cause of Jesus Christ. You don't know how you can affect somebody else. Sometimes it's the simple things that we do that make a great impression. Well, people can see Jesus in our attitude, in our words, in our methods. It comes through in our writing. Oh, God knows. And surely, whatsoever you do, do it heartily, as to the Lord, and not unto men, knowing that of the Lord ye shall receive the reward of the inheritance, for you serve the Lord Christ. Oh, yeah, you may do things that nobody notices. Nobody you think has, you know, had any indication that they, you know, they observed it even. But the Lord saw it. And he knows what you did, and he knows what you did do too. Oh my. And we know that, yes, it's of the Lord. That day when, oh, it's payday, that we receive the reward of the inheritance. For everything that we do, we want to do it with our hearts, with the right motives, with the right goals. We're getting ready to meet the King. Praise the Lord, yes, for we serve the Lord Christ. And we were told as this chapter ends, verse 25 again, "But he that doeth wrong shall receive for the wrong which he hath done, and there is no respect of persons." I thank God we have these moments to grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Christ, Jesus Christ. Oh, yes, to put on Christ. Oh, to work for him while we have a little bit of time. Praise the Lord. And oh, to strive for the mastery. To strive to become like Jesus Christ. Oh, praise the Lord. To be like Jesus. Oh, yes, to have his mind. Oh, and to work for him while we have a little bit of time, with the right heart, with the right motives, with the right goals. Oh, yes, with our affections on things above and not on things on the earth. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. So praise the Lord. Oh, God, we love you, Lord. We praise you, Jesus. We worship you, Lord. Oh, God, I pray, oh, God, that you'd make us fruitful. Oh, God, that you would bring us to that place, oh, Lord, where we could be perfected in thee, so that we can be grown in thee, Lord. Oh, God, that we can put on Christ. Oh, Lord, that they might see thy light in us. And know, oh Lord, that we have been touched by thee. Oh, Lord Jesus, thank you, Lord. Work in us. Change us. Mold us. Shape us. Make us what we ought to be in you, Lord. Oh, we thank you. We praise you. In Jesus' precious name. Amen. Praise the Lord. Oh, he's good. We are getting ready to meet the King. Thank you, Lord. Praise the Lord Jesus.
Praise the Lord. In closing, we're going to open our chorus books to number 47 and sing, Lord, make me what I ought to be. Number 47. God bless you all. Have a wonderful night. Be safe.